Today is the 30th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. We're in the middle of a week, but we are definitely at the end of a month. And obviously we'll be concluding the month tomorrow. We're also really navigating ourselves to the end of some of the territory that we're in the Bible. We're reaching the conclusion of the book of Job. Couple more days, we're reaching the end of 2 Corinthians, so we're about to just reset everything over the course of the next week. But you know what? We'll navigate all that together. And we are here right now around the global campfire today for this next step forward. And our next step leads us back into Job. And we met another character in the story of Job yesterday, a person named Elihu, who has been sitting and listening to Job talk to his friends, but he's younger, so he's trying to be respectful. But as things are winding down, as the argument gets more and more circular and more frustration is happening, Elihu finally says, "Hey, it's my turn to talk." And so he has plenty to say, as we have already heard, and we will continue to listen to Elihu today. So, Job, chapters 34, 35, and 36. Elihu continued to speak to Job and his friends. "Listen to my words, you wise men. Open your ears to me, you intelligent men. The ear tests words like the tongue tastes food. Let's decide for ourselves what is right and agree among ourselves as to what is good. Because Job has said, 'I'm righteous, but God has taken away my rights. I'm considered a liar in spite of my rights. I've been wounded by a deadly arrow, though I haven't been disobedient.' What person is like Job, who drinks scorn like water, who travels with troublemakers and associates with evil people? He says, 'It doesn't do any good to try to please God.' You people who have understanding, listen to me. It is unthinkable that God would ever do evil, or that the Almighty would ever do wicked things. God will repay humanity for what it has done, and will give each person what he deserves. Certainly, God will never do anything evil, and the Almighty will never pervert justice. Who put him in charge of the earth? Who appointed him to be over the whole world? If he thought only of himself and withdrew his spirit and his breath, all living beings would die together, and humanity would return to dust. If you understand, listen to this. Open your ears to my words. Should anyone who hates justice be allowed to govern? Will you condemn the one who is righteous and mighty? Should anyone even say to a king, 'You good-for-nothing scoundrel,' or to nobles, 'You wicked people'? The one who is righteous and mighty does not grant special favors to princes or prefer important people over poor people, because his hands made them all. They die suddenly in the middle of the night. People have seizures and pass away. Mighty people are taken away, but not by human hands. God's eyes are on a person's ways. He sees all his steps. There's no darkness or deep shadow where troublemakers can hide. He doesn't have to set a time for a person in order to bring him to divine judgment. He breaks mighty people into pieces without examining them and puts others in their places. He knows what they do, so he overthrows them at night, and they're crushed. In return for their evil, he strikes them in public because they turned away from following him and didn't consider any of his ways. They force the poor to cry out to him, and he hears the cry of those who suffer. If he keeps quiet, who can condemn him? If he hides his face, who can see him, whether it is a nation or a single person? He does this so that godless people cannot rule and so that they cannot trap people. But suppose such a person says to God, I am guilty. I will stop my immoral behavior. Teach me what I cannot see. If I've done wrong, I won't do it again. Should God reward you on your own terms since you have rejected His? You must choose, not I. Tell me what you know. Speak. People of understanding, the wise people who listen to me will say, Job speaks without knowledge. His words show no insight. My father, let Job be thoroughly tested for giving answers like wicked people do. He adds disobedience to his sin. He claps his hands to insult us. He multiplies his words against God. Elihu continued to speak to Job and his friends. Do you think this is right when you say, my case is more just than God's? When you ask, what benefit is it to you, and what would I gain by sinning? I will answer you and your friends. Look at the heavens and see. Observe the clouds high above you. If you've sinned, what effect can you have on God? If you've done many wrongs, what can you do to Him? If you're righteous, what can you give Him, or what can He get from you? Your wickedness affects only someone like yourself. Your righteousness affects only the descendants of Adam. The weight of oppression makes them cry out. The power of mighty people makes them call for help. But no one asks, where is God, my Creator, who inspires songs in the night, who teaches us more than He teaches the animals of the earth, who makes us wiser than the birds in the sky? Then they cry out, but He doesn't answer them, because of the arrogance of those evil people. Surely God doesn't listen to idle complaints. The Almighty doesn't even pay attention to them. Although you say that you pay attention to Him, your case is in front of Him, but you'll have to wait for Him. And now you say that His anger doesn't punish anyone and He isn't too concerned about evil. Job opens his mouth for no good reason and talks a lot without having any knowledge. Elihu continued to speak to Job. Be patient with me a little longer and I will show you that there is more to be said in God's defense. I will get my knowledge from far away and prove that my Creator is fair. Certainly, my words are not lies. The one who knows everything is speaking with you. Certainly, God is mighty. He doesn't despise anyone. He is mighty and brave. He doesn't allow the wicked person to live. He grants justice to those who are oppressed. He doesn't take His eyes off righteous people. He seats them on thrones with kings to honor them forever. However, if righteous people are bound in chains and tangled in ropes of misery, He tells them what they've done wrong and that they've behaved arrogantly. He makes them listen to His warning and orders them to turn away from wrong. If righteous people listen and serve Him, they will live out their days in prosperity and their years in comfort. But if they don't listen, they will cross the river of death and die like those who have no knowledge. But those who have godless hearts remain angry. They don't even call for help when He chains them up. They die while they're young, or they live on as male prostitutes in the temples of idols. He rescues suffering people through their suffering, and He opens their ears through distress. Yes, He lured you away from the jaws of trouble into an open area where you were not restrained, and your table was covered with rich foods. But you are given the judgment evil people deserve. A fair judgment will be upheld. Be careful that you are not led astray with riches. Don't let a large bribe turn you to evil ways. Will your riches save you from having to suffer? Will all your mighty strength help you? Don't look forward to the night when people disappear from their places. Be careful. Don't turn to evil because you have chosen evil instead of suffering. God does great things by his power. Is there any teacher like him? Who can tell him which way he should go? Who can say to him, "You did wrong"? Remember that you should praise his work. People have sung about it. Every person has seen it. Mortals have looked at it from a distance. Certainly, God is so great that he is beyond our understanding. The number of his years cannot be counted. He collects drops of water. He distills rain from his mist, which then drips from the clouds. It pours down on many people. Can anyone really understand how clouds spread out, or how he thunders from his dwelling place? Look, he scatters his flashes of lightning around him and covers the depths of the sea. This is how he uses the rains to provide for people and to give them more than enough food. He fills his hands with lightning and orders it to hit the target. The thunder announces his coming. The storm announces his angry wrath. Second Corinthians 4, 1 through 12. We don't become discouraged, since God has given us this ministry through his mercy. Instead, we have refused to use secret and shameful ways. We don't use tricks, and we don't distort God's word. As God watches, we clearly reveal the truth to everyone. This is our letter of recommendation. So if the good news that we tell others is covered with a veil, it is hidden from those who are dying. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. As a result, they don't see the light of the good news about Christ's glory. It is Christ who is God's image. Our message is not about ourselves. It is about Jesus Christ as the Lord. We are your servants for his sake. We are his servants because the same God who said that light should shine out of darkness has given us light. For that reason, we bring to light the knowledge about God's glory which shines from Christ's face. Our bodies are made of clay, yet we have the treasure of the good news in them. This shows that the superior power of this treasure belongs to God and doesn't come from us. In every way we're troubled, but we aren't crushed by our troubles. We're frustrated, but we don't give up. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're captured, but we're not killed. We always carry around the death of Jesus in our bodies, so that the life of Jesus is also shown in our bodies. While we are alive, we are constantly handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus is also shown in our mortal nature. Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Psalm 44, 1 through 8. For the choir director, a maskil by Korah's descendants. O God, we have heard it with our own ears. Our ancestors have told us about the miracle you performed in their day, in days long ago. By your power, you forced nations out of the land, but you planted our ancestors there. You shattered many groups of people, but you set our ancestors free. It was not with their swords that they took possession of the land. They did not gain victory with their own strength. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your presence that did it, because you were pleased with them. You alone are my king, O God. You won those victories for Jacob. With you, we can walk over our enemies. With your name, we can trample those who attacked us. I do not rely on my bow, and my sword will never save me. But you saved us from our enemies. You put to shame those who hate us. All day long we praise our God. We give thanks to you forever. Selah. Proverbs 22:10-12. Drive out a mocker, and conflict will leave. Quarreling and abuse will stop. Whoever loves a pure heart and whoever speaks graciously has a king as his friend. The Lord's eyes watch over knowledge, but he overturns the words of a treacherous person. Okay, so we have some profound advice in a couple of sentences in one verse from the book of Proverbs today. And it reads, drive out a mocker and conflict will leave. Quarreling and abuse will stop. I mean, this verse stops me at conflict will leave. Like, that's got my attention. And you go on, quarreling will stop. Abuse will go away. Like, what are we talking about here? You have my attention. The answer is drive out a mocker. And we probably agree with it. We might have to sit here and think about it for a minute. We probably agree with all of this, that that's true. Mocking does inflame things, and then things just go crazy. So we could agree until we have to go look in the mirror and realize that sometimes that's us, the mocker, the lengths that we'll go to be right in an argument. So now the proverb should have pretty much all of our attention. So let's just think about conflict for a second. I mean, conflict is when people are kind of moving in a direction and they cross paths and there's an impasse of some sort. Conflict is present. A problem is being surfaced. And resolving these conflicts are what we spend a heck of a lot of our energy doing all day, every day, in some form or another. But when we're not getting a conflict resolved the way we want it to be resolved, and we're not willing to give ground or compromise or try to find a way forward, well, then we bring out the special tools, right? We put on the mocker mask. We bring out the scorn. We bring out these awful things as strategies for resolving a conflict because we couldn't do it the way we wanted and we're not getting what we want. So now it's down to domination. And so we're no longer looking at a problem that needs to be resolved, a problem that is causing a conflict that we have to find a way forward on. We instead diminish the person so that we can attack the person and dominate the person and be right. And mocking does that. The mocker has contempt against the other person or peoples. And so their position, their point of view is diminished. We judge it inferior as we rise up in our righteous indignation and scorn and contempt and mocking. And we have lost the battle at that point. Because now it's person against person and the problem is just sitting there. And then the gloves come off and things get personal and things get vicious and things get hellish. The ancient wisdom from the book of Proverbs tells us that if we don't invite the mocker into the mix, then fighting and quarrels and abuse and insults will disappear, which allows people to participate in resolving a conflict. The mocker is in each of us in any number of ways, the counsel is, don't bring it to the conflict. And that can be really tricky and really hard to do in the heat of the moment when things are just getting amped up, and then boom, all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, you're like, how did we get here from there? Like, we were having a fight, but now we're in World War III. What is going on? How did we get here? Maybe the mocker. And maybe we can learn from our missteps, because it's never worked out. Because it doesn't work out. We have to go into a conflict with a good and open heart, believing in the good of the one with whom we are in conflict. We have to come believing that our hearts are good towards each other and we want to solve a problem. If that's not true, that gets unveiled pretty quickly. And if the mocker enters into the story, then the truth is that it was never a problem to solve. It was always a battle to fight. I mean, there's nothing to defend if you're not being attacked. And when we can start from this even place that our hearts are good towards each other and we have a problem to solve, and if we can keep our focus on that, then if the mocker shows up, it looks like the fool that it is. And we may find that we're being the mouthpiece. So let's just take this ancient wisdom to heart. It's coming to us from the Word of God. Let's take it to heart and just imagine what life might look like with, like, how many hours of anxiety and grief that we can get back if we start resolving conflicts without bringing the mocker into the conversation. So Holy Spirit, come into this. We are counseled over and over about the things that we say and the power in our words. And here we are looking at ancient wisdom from Proverbs, telling us what we already know to be true. And since we're reading it from the book of Proverbs, this has been a truth that has stood the test of time for thousands of years. This is true of we human beings. We need to be in control, and so we're willing to dominate when what the gospel offers us is surrender. Surrender to the Almighty, the All-Powerful One, so that we can appropriately resolve conflict and love one another. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us what to do with the mocker within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base, and you can find out what's happening around here there. You can also download the Daily Audio Bible app from the app store that works with your device, and that's a free download and puts everything in the palm of your hand. So check that out. Check out, like, the community section. This is where to get connected. And this is also where the prayer wall lives. I talk about it often because it's so vital and so important to know that there is a place that is always on and never off. And then we can go and share our story. And then we can go and hold each other up. If our life is going great, it's a great place to go and encourage each other. When we hit the wall, it's a place to go and be held up and be surrounded by brothers and sisters. And so that is the prayer wall. That's in the community section on the website or in the app. So check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, well, first of all, humble gratitude. We couldn't have a global campfire that burned. We couldn't have anything if we didn't have it together. And so it's us in this together. Thank you. Thank you profoundly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right-hand corner. Where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. I do. And I'll be waiting for you here. tomorrow.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to pray for Angie from Texas regarding her friend's baby desire to have a baby. Lord, we just ask you to have your way. We just ask you to work that miracle, Lord. You did it for me. I know that you can do it for her. Give her the desires of her heart. You have a precious baby that's waiting for her to raise, that she can direct them in a way that you would have them to be a part of our nation and our life. In the name of Jesus, give him that desire. Give her the desires of her heart and put that plant, that seed in him or her and what you want them to be. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We want to tell you, pray for also for Lady of Victory. Pray for that victory in her education. I'm so proud of you, my sister, and God is ready for you to finish too. Lord, we just ask you to open doors no man can close. Life and favor on her and all the dabbers, Lord. We ask you to touch all of the dabbers, those that are in the hospital, that precious man that called from the prison system. We pray for him, Lord. We pray for those in the prison system. We pray for those outside the system. We pray for those that are going through the strongholds. Father, you release that stronghold and give them the victory. Lord, show up and show out as you always do. You're the same God yesterday, today, tomorrow. You're healing, Lord, and delivering, and Lord, touching those that are going through the loss of their loved ones, Father. We ask that you strengthen them. We ask that you guide them. We ask you to touch in the school and our children and the young people, Father, and we ask you to have your way. We ask you to give them the wisdom and the knowledge, Father. We ask you to have them to look to you, and Lord, we'll give you the glory. We ask you to touch in our White House. We ask you to touch in our schoolhouse. We ask you to touch in every one of the homes that our father and mother.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Mark Street from Sydney, Australia. Today is Friday the 25th of August, and I've just finished listening to the podcast, and I heard the brothers, Richard from Albury, Wodonga, and Ozzy James. Brothers, I've been listening since you started calling in as well, and it's great to hear some other Aussie brothers in here as well. And definitely going to pray, Richard, for the Christian radio, because we do need, as you know, in Australia, revival back of Christianity in Australia too. And Ozzy James, your words are very definitely great as well, about it's not about what God can give us, it's how we can align ourselves with God, and I'm finding that as well. Now, I just want to go to prayer, and I'm excited hearing both of you brothers as well. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we say thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, please help the radio ministry for Richard to take off, and let that extend out to other Christians in Australia to give them hope that your word is not being stamped out in Australia, that your word will spread and your word will survive in this country. Lord, let it be a revival in this country for to know you, to love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you for you, my Daily Holy Bible, that always pray as well. Mark Street from Sydney, Australia. Bye.
Hello, dabbers. Today is August 25th, and I want to pray for Lori Ann from South Carolina and Shantae from Florida. I heard both of your requests this morning, and they really resonated with me, and I am praying for you, and I want to pray right now. Father God, I lift up Lori Ann, who is grieving the loss of her husband and is in this very difficult living situation with her siblings. Father God, I pray that she would know that you are there with her, and I pray that she would find some support from local churches or friendships, and that she would have support other than her brother and sister. I pray that you would make a way for her to leave the situation and get into the safety of the home that she can go to, her parents' home. Father, I pray that you would make a way and give her the steps to take and the light she needs to take the steps when it feels so dark. God, I also pray for Shantae. I have been in very similar situations, and I know that feeling, and I pray for wisdom and light and provision for her financial situation and what you know, all the ins and outs. God, I thank you that we can trust you and come to you, and I lift, just ask for blessing on these two women. Amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is Joy Bubble from Pennsylvania calling for Chelsea. Heavenly Father, I pray for Chelsea, who's expecting her baby here in a couple of weeks. Lord, throughout my journey to become a midwife, I know that one of the biggest things you taught me was that every single breath of our lives is a gift from you, and it is through you that we live and move and have our being. Lord, I pray that you will just surround Chelsea with a giant God hug and give her peace and calm her fears and anxieties and worries, God. I know that you are the author and perfecter of her story, and that there's nobody in this world or in this universe who cares and sees and wants to be a part of her story more than you. And I know that you were there and you saw her and were mourning with her when she went through those miscarriages. But God, I just pray that you will heal her and comfort her during this time as she prepares to give birth to her baby, that you will just give her health and give her that peace, because you say in your word that, you know, you keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I think it's Isaiah who said that, maybe. But anyways, we know that that is a gift that you give us when we choose to put our trust in you and choose to trust you with our story, Lord. So I pray that for Chelsea today. I pray that you'll be with her and that you will show her your wonder and give her awe.